are the 1, 2, 3
Sore Losers! Dang, we're back.
Wow, what up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
What's up? I'm Eddie. I know the least about sports, but I am your average sports fan, your sports watcher. I just don't know the who's who's or the what's what's.
What's up, you guys? It's Ray. It's great to have Lunchbox back. Finally, we have the sports genius. I'm from the north. I love to ice hockey. I love to ice fish. And you know what? I'll even put some ice in my beer. And when you go to the bar, I will be the guy shotgunning that beer.
You put ice in your beer?
That makes you a woman's man. That's not a man's man thing to do. No man's man puts ice in their beer.
That's called watering down your beer.
Yeah, it's called making your beer bad.
Yeah. How do you get it cold when you get back from the grocery store and it's been sitting in the car?
Stick it in the freezer?
Yeah, for 7 minutes.
All right, I'll try it. I'll usually go the ice route.
You put ice in your actual beer? Like, yeah, you pour your beer in a cup and then put ice in it?
Yeah.
No, that waters it down.
And you sit there and you drink your beer with ice in it.
It's disgusting.
Everybody just, you lost your credibility tenfold right now.
All your ice fishermen are like, he don't ice fish.
Yep.
And then out. Now all the beer drinkers, out.
Dang it, I should have said that.
Sports genius, dude. Matt, let me tell you guys, have you back.
It feels good to be back out in public and to see people and to be doing this because it was a rough week. It was a rough week. I tested positive for influenza 3.
Oh my.
Hey, when he says tested positive.
Coach, don't lead with I tested positive.
Just so you know, it was the, strand 3. It's like the flu, but it's not the flu. It's common in toddlers, so obviously I got it from the kid. Or from one of his punk friends at daycare when I pick him up. And boy.
He's already hanging out with the wrong crowd.
I tell you what, he must be hanging out with some bad people if they got influenza 3 up in that mother.
Hey, is the kid better?
Oh, he's good. He just has a little snot, but that's
it. So apparently, I was talking to my wife about this, but kids, like the breast milk and how they breastfeed protects them from so many viruses.
Yeah.
Like, so for him, he's cool. He probably has it, but it doesn't affect him. He gives it to dad, but he's good.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
and
amazing.
I was quarantined. It was rough. It was a rough week. It was a long week, but man, I feel so much better. I'm not 100%.
You sound 110% better.
That's impossible.
Because you sounded like crap. Coach, did you hear him on the phone?
I never heard him on the phone, but I did see him before his sickness. And I was going to say something like, man, you look like you haven't gotten sleep or you look a little off. But that was the day before his sickness, before it hit.
When I talked to him on the phone, like he normally talks like this. He was like, like much, much deeper. Oh, man, I'm not feeling good. And then he'd get really excited. Did you see the game tonight? And then he'd get really high. Dude, his pitch was all over the place.
It was bad.
Dang,
but man,
dude.
It feels good.
Yeah, dude.
I still got
good.
A little bit of cough, you know. But yes,
are you contagious still?
No. No way.
No.
I would hope not. It's been over a week.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's do this.
Let's
you guys
go.
Ready?
Yeah.
You ready for the game that's sweeping America?
Yeah.
A game called we call would you.
What?
Would you rather?
Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Okay. A game we call would you rather.
Game on.
Yeah. In the middle of would you rather, I started to cough. That's why I had to stop, guys.
Woo. I got confused.
Yeah. Would you rather have the details of your financial life or your love life be made public?
I mean, my love life? I'm already married, so, I mean, there's nothing to it.
That's going
to
show how much you guys hook up. If you know, that's going to show some weird stuff. You want that out there?
I mean, I don't care. There's no secret. I think every married person would be like, yeah, I mean, that's what's up. And that's kind of what we go through, too. I feel like we'd be a good example of what everyone is like. Like, you know, I mean, we have a bad week or a bad month.
Your whole love life history, like beginning to end.
Everything. Ugh. That's tough. Ray, go first. Let me think about this.
The love life stuff, I don't kiss and tell. Let's keep that secret. I'm fine with the bank records going out there. It would be a little awkward because it's going to show, hey, This guy
dude don't got anything.
Well, this guy, I mean, there was times in his life when he had nothing. Oh, wow, this guy did well for a month. Oh, wow, there were some gambling losses there. That's kind of embarrassing. But the money thing isn't a big deal. Everybody here knows I'm not rich. I'm not poor. I mean, we know, it, for the most part, what everybody's got in their bank account.
Good point.
Do we not? I don't know. But what I'm saying is I don't care about the money thing. Show my girlfriend that I had some gambling losses. Show my parents that I only spent $20 on a Groupon for their Christmas present. I don't care. Like, that, if money's money, who cares about money? Keep the love life secret. Never kiss and tell, kids.
Listen.
Go ahead.
I want a detailed report of my love life out there for everybody because I talk about how Back in my days before I got married, I was out at the bar bringing chicks home, hot tubbing, all this stuff, and no one ever believes me. Oh, yeah, right. Listen, I want it out there so people know. Just so you know and you can see it and you can be like, okay, you know what? Lunchbox wasn't lying to us. He's been telling the truth all these years, bragging about a ladies' man he is, and dang, he is a ladies' man. I would go to the bar, and my roommate and I would set goals on how many chicks we were going to make out with that night. And once you make out with a chick at one bar, next bar, try to find another chick. I mean, I'm telling you, it was nonstop. I was a machine.
Dude, and you would have been better, too, now with the dating apps. It's even easier.
Exactly. I didn't even have dating
Tinder,
apps.
Hinge, Bumble.
I mean, those dating apps look like fish in a barrel.
Oh, dude, my buddy.
It'd be so easy.
Dude, Billy would come to town, and he would have the app at the airport. Dude, he'd have three girls lined up before I even picked him up from the airport. And he's like, dude, I got to go meet up with these girls. I was like, didn't you come to town? You want to hang out with me? Or are you going to go hook up with a girl at the Holiday Inn?
At the airport, on the plane, he hooked up
dates. And he already had matches, and he was ready to go hook up with them.
My day was MySpace, and I used MySpace to my advantage.
You did? How did that work? You just message him?
They, you know, you'd become friends or friend requests, and then you see, oh, she's a hottie. All right,
you
boom.
You listen to their top three songs. You're like, oh, I dig
that. Yeah, exactly. Go to their page, see what they're in, and you just send them a message. Hey, what up? Man, mice. And that's bold with MySpace because you had to write a little message and like, oh, back and forth. Like Tinder and all that, you just look at pictures. This, you actually had to be funny.
I feel old school because, I mean, I was dating my wife before MySpace.
Oh,
so,
boy.
Like, I never got to use any technology to date. But now I see all these, you know, the girls that we work with all on Tinder and, are they on Tinder?
No, I don't think they're on that anymore. It's Hinge.
Hinge, whatever they're on. I'm just like, guys, this is crazy. It's foreign to me. I don't understand dating apps.
Well, and it helps the guys without game. It sucks because, I was the guy at the bar, go up to girls, talk to them. The dating apps just help kind of the losers. If you have a good personality, you don't need a dating app.
I disagree with you. It just makes it easier. So, because girls are they're a little standoffish. Sometimes they can be creeped out by guys. So the dating apps help with the girls because sometimes they're in their group of girls and they don't want to be approached. And it's like, okay, so you hit them on the Bumble. Okay, boom. Then you start the conversation.
But then you get Bumble eyes and they never look like the picture that they put on there.
Oh, that has happened where I've been MySpaced, where I meet up with a chick
Tinder'd.
And I'm like, okay, you know, like you're not as hot as you were in your pictures. You put up the old pictures. But I've had them.
People change in a few years.
Oh, yeah. I've had them where I'm like, dang, you are just as hot as that picture,
really?
And I am really happy.
And were they good in the head?
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, like, in the actual head, physically, their head.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of them do that. I mean, heck, I think I even put up pictures from when I was on those dating apps when I was single. I put up pictures from, like, 2 years ago. Because then you get it. Once you get them in person, then you can talk to them, use your personality.
You can talk, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
That's what I mean.
Everybody's using the older pictures. Nobody's putting some updated picture exactly how they look right now in the wintertime when they're probably not working out as much.
So, that's Eddie, you're putting your financial life or your love life?
Ooh, I think I'm going to go with love life still, just because, honestly, I don't care about either one. You know, like Ray said, financial life, who cares? Like, it's fine. I have money. I don't have money. You know, whatever. Some people have money. Some people don't. It's all good. The love life, it's maybe a little more embarrassing to put all that out there, but I mean, whatever, dude. We're all human. We all go through it. We do the same things.
That's right, and that's the game we call
Would You Rather! Game on!
That guitar thing's a little intense. I mean, people listening to this with their cars, do they really want their guitar rocking in the background like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
I just always like to think what people like to listen to.
I think they like Game On.
Yeah, I think they like Game On! And Game On, Patriots, it's over,
that
boys.
That was a great game.
Jeez.
We saw it.
What?
There's a problem with the Patriots.
Yeah,
Tom Brady
sucks.
No.
Gronk can't lift his arms.
They are slow.
Oh, real slow.
They are old, and Gronk is done. This is it. Like, he is retiring after this year. He cannot move.
No, he can't, dude.
He is so slow. He can't get open. If he can't get open, no one else can get open because he doesn't take away the defense isn't worried about him as much, and no one on their team is fast. They're older. A couple years ago, okay, yeah, it's over, guys. It's done.
Yeah, we knew it was done when Philly beat them last year. Dude, the Patriots aren't good anymore. Pittsburgh, it was a good game. It was a great game. You can't ask for that. Brady with the ball, 2 minutes left. There you go.
That's what you want.
Yes,
and
that's
you
what
want America watching saying like, all right, here he goes. Can he do it? Did he do it? I mean, that's a telltale, dude. Brady is on the way out. He couldn't do it. And he was close. He was still Brady. He moved the ball. Once he got to that point, 20-yard line, 15, couldn't get there.
Yeah, they didn't do well there in the red zone.
They didn't do well in the red zone at all.
Like Craig Gronk doesn't even raise
his arm.
I mean,
he threw that one interception that he was trying to throw it away.
Yes.
And the announcers broke it down beautifully, saying he sees Gronk. Yeah, he says he sees Gronk running over there, so he's just trying to throw it away. He's like, there's no way he could see that defender that far away. He was like, he just didn't see him, and he thought it was just a clean throwaway, and that defender happened to be there. And I thought Gronk was going to be able to knock him out of bounds without him getting his feet down.
Can you do that?
Yeah,
because then it's not a catch.
That's not a catch.
I know, I thought that was like there was a penalty to that. You got to let him land.
Nope.
No.
Okay.
Gosh, man, I mean, it just the game now, it's like really, they can be a complete catch, but they could just flip the ball out of their hands right before they touch the ground, and it's incomplete.
Right.
Like anything that they could do, they can put a banana peel under his foot, and it slips out of bounds, and it's like, oh, not a catch.
That's why all those guys are trying to rip it away now. Back in the day, they didn't try to rip it away. Now, guys,
but the rip doesn't really work. I mean, when the catch
The rip works, dude. Great.
Hold on. You're talking about the reason when they're trying to catch the ball?
Yeah.
Dude, when they come up from behind, or it's a receiver, or it's a running back, dude, you're always like, oh my gosh, great play. The rip away. The rip away always is going to, you're going to be so elated and then brought back down.
I'm amazed when those strong dudes are ripping on your arm and you're able to not move your arm and you just squeeze that football. It just tells me how strong these humans are.
Dude, these defenders are great at the rip away. I mean, they practice that crap. We never did that in high school. Did you do the rip away?
I mean, no. You never concentrate on the rip away.
These guys now do.
They don't even think about tackling the dude. Just get the ball. Rip it away.
Rip away.
Yeah, but you watched it last night, or you watched it yesterday. You watched the Patriots, and their problem is they have no speed. They are just so freaking slow.
Edelman's good.
Edelman's older. He's slower.
They don't use James White. I don't even think he caught the ball maybe once.
No, they used him.
I thought that was a little weird, too. They had Burkhead in there most of the game. I thought they would use James White more out of the backfield.
Dude, I thought they do James White 10 times a game. They threw to him maybe like twice at the very end.
Yes,
but they
at the very end,
him.
Which I thought was weird. Usually it's the dink and dunk to James White when no one else is open. But also, Pittsburgh had a great game plan. They just blitzed. It felt like every single down, and Tom Brady can't move. So you just blitz, 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 blitz. It was over. I thought
at the beginning of the game it was going to be a shootout. They scored two touchdowns real quick, and then it stopped the rest of the game. The score stayed pretty much the same right there. But at first I was like, okay, here we go. Here's another one of those Rams-Chiefs games where it's like 50-50, and then they slowed down. Brady can't do that. Let's be real. Brady ain't throwing that many touchdowns.
They're just slow. And the Patriots don't have playmakers on their offense.
Who's their running back? He's not explosive.
Sony Michel.
Yeah.
He's good, but it's
not. Is he a rookie?
Yeah, he's out of Georgia. It was weird to watch, but it was just yesterday was very telling. Gronk just looks so done.
Like, I mean, he didn't have any catches the first half. What did he get?
He got a couple catches.
That's not Gronk. Usually when he's in, Brady goes to him. Not anymore. They're not boys anymore or something. Or Brady just thinks
he can't get open. He can't move. If you watch him.
And he had to make a tackle again last night. Dude, he's playing more defense these last 2 weeks.
Yeah, if you watch him last
Gronk night. Gronk is in on the tackle again, the interception.
Yeah.
He had to go for the tackle.
But even Brady's passes at the end, the last drive, like, you know, in the red zone, like, there was nothing catchable.
Well, there's no one open. I don't think he tried. I mean, he was trying to throw it where it wouldn't. I mean, I just don't think anybody was open.
Yeah.
Part of the reason. And I thought Pittsburgh had a good game plan. Blitz, 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 blitz.
That was must-see TV, though. My chick was playing Christmas music, so I had the game on mute. When it was 2 minutes left, I was like, sweetie, turn the music off. I've got to listen to these announcers
and
actually
get
a feel for it.
There was so much must-see TV last night. I mean, the 49er game. Like, what? 49ers are beating
Seattle.
They go overtime. Must-see. Also, on the other end, you got...
you're not going to say you're a Cowboys, because good God.
No. But what? Also,
and then last night, you know, you got the Rams and the Eagles. I mean, dude, it comes back to the last minute of the game. Like, crazy, crazy games last night.
And what I saw this weekend, what stuck out to me, the changing of the guard in the AFC East, the Patriots, I hope you had fun. But the new Tom Brady of the AFC East has arrived, and his name is Sam Darnold. Guys, this dude is going to be a superstar.
You think?
In this league.
Because they played the Texans tight, and then Texans won at the very end.
Yes.
When? When?
A year or two. It's like he started out a little rough in the rookie year, and then he sat for three games because he was hurt. And he said, It helped him so much because it helped the game slow down. And just watching him on Saturday, he made some throws and some decisions, and I was like, this dude is going to be a superstar quarterback in the NFL.
Why? Because he really can't run, can he?
He can throw the ball. Put it, drops like it in the bucket. Yes.
Yes.
He made some incredible throws, some incredible decisions on Saturday. Just pocket awareness. He just made good decisions. And I looked at him and I said, get ready. He is the new Tom Brady of the AFC East. Good looking dude.
Wow.
That everybody talks about how good looking he is from California.
Do you think he's good looking?
I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
Went with the good looking thing.
I mean, nope, do you
that's
think
what
he's
they
good?
Say.
No, 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 but do you think
I have
he's
no
good
idea.
Looking?
Good looking dude.
That's what they
Who's
call
him. Who's more good looking, him or Tom Brady?
Don't know. But they're both Brady. California Brady. Kids, and the girls love them. And let me tell you, Sam Darnold is it. He is the real deal. The Jets are about to be a force to be reckoned with.
And the Jets, they're not making playoffs, right?
No, they're terrible.
Okay. Why were people even going to the Jets and Giants games? They still have a decent crowd at MetLife Stadium, the one in the Meadowlands or mm-hmm. whatever. Where
it's
it is.
Football. People love it.
They just love football. Dude, the Giants suck. Why did anybody go to the Giants-Titans game?
Well, it was raining. Like, why would you go sit in that
Wait,
crap?
What do you mean? Don't they play the same stadium?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm saying they play different days. But it was, just look, both games look miserable. Why would you go to those games?
Yeah. But just, I'm just.
It was raining.
That was the takeaway from the weekend for me. Was just Sam Darnold, how good he's going to be. That's it. I mean, he is going to be so good.
Yeah, like, I was wondering why you were saying that, but he doesn't run, I don't think, from
no,
what
he,
I saw.
But who cares if he
you
runs?
You don't have to run nowadays?
You don't have to run.
I mean, it helps.
Did Peyton Manning or else, run? Did Tom Brady run?
No.
No, but the game... I
Does
mean,
Andrew Luck, he doesn't really
no.
run?
And they've rolled, man.
That's what I'm saying. Oh. You don't have to run to be a good quarterback. It's cool to watch Cam Newton, okay, because he can run.
Lamar Jackson.
It's a beautiful. It makes for
Lamar
beautiful.
Lamar Jackson is terrible.
He can run.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying, but he's terrible.
Yeah,
we're obsessed with quarterbacks that can run, but it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I feel like it does in situated Mahomes. He can run. It helps.
It helps. Phillip Rivers, can he run?
No.
No.
Okay. But has he been good his whole career?
Yes.
Not really. The Chargers really haven't been good?
Yes, they have. Phillip Rivers has always been a good Eli Manning. Has he ever been already run?
But he's never been a good quarterback.
Has he won two Super Bowls?
That doesn't matter.
Ben Roethlisberger, can he run?
No.
Has he won two Super Bowls?
Yes. But
okay,
it doesn't matter.
Thank you. Joe Flacco, can he run?
No.
Has he won a Super Bowl?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's go down the lineup.
Who else?
Exactly.
John Elway.
Joe Montana, could he run?
No.
No. Did he win Super Bowls?
Yes.
Dang it.
That's what I mean. Just. I don't know if you guys even watched Darnold. Because it was kind of a...
I didn't watch it. I don't
right.
watch the
I
Jets
I saw the
anymore.
Very end. I saw Houston come back.
Right.
Yeah, the Jets are on TV. I'm not watching
Jets
it.
Jets wasn't must-see
Sorry.
TV.
Yes, when you're quarantined and you're kind of sick, you have to...
Yeah,
you
watch everything.
This guy's watched everything on TV for the past 72 hours.
Can you
hours.
Imagine how much he wanted to come back to this podcast? Because he's been doing nothing but on the couch watching TV.
There's things from last week that I want to talk about that are so old news.
Coach, trust
that,
me, if you bring it up, we probably didn't even touch
like,
on it.
I got a lot of tweets saying, guy, can you get back so we can talk about sports? But yes, that was that. Then what else was great this weekend? It's amazing. The calendar flips to December in the NFL. And now that all these coaches have film on these high-powered offenses, what happens?
They don't perform.
That high-powered offense isn't so cute anymore.
Look at the Rams.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're on to them. They're on to their tricks.
They figure it out.
They
got to
start getting creative now.
One problem for the Rams, I think, Cooper Kupp, you realize how much of a they lost him, and ever since he went out for the season, it's kind of been a struggle. But I do also believe that defensive coordinators are on to the Rams. They've kind of figured out how to beat them, how to slow them down, keep everything in front of you, and they're not a 12-play offense that's going to take 12 plays. They want to play three plays, touchdown, three plays, touchdown. They don't want the dink, dunk, dink, dunk.
And they couldn't do the dink dunk last night.
Exactly.
Like, it was weird. Like, Gurley couldn't catch anything. Like, he would drop, I don't know how many passes, but I felt like every time I saw Gurley get a dink dunk, it was like he dropped it.
I think it was more on, I felt like it was more on Goff. Goff missed some easy, like, the one.
He did miss some easy throws.
Gerald Everett was open on the corner of the end zone. He went on a wheel route outside to get him to within 10 points, and he just flat out missed him.
They just weren't connecting. It was weird to see
and
that.
And Gurley right out in the flat of the end zone.
Yep.
And Goff throws it at his feet. I thought Goff looked bad 2 weeks in a row. Confidence in his head, you start struggling. Everything's great when you're flying up and down the field, scoring touchdowns every time. Boy.
And on the other side, Nick Foles fills in for Pete Wentz. Is that his name?
What? There's no way you got that right, did you?
Is that his name?
Pete Wentz?
No.
Yeah, from...
No, what's his name?
From Blink-182 or
Carson Wentz.
Carson. Pete Wentz is in that
I knew there was no way you got
Pete
that
Wentz
right.
Guys, I tell you, I don't know the who's or the what's.
Pete Wentz Fallout was married Boy. To Ashley Simpson, yes.
Fallout Boy.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
So he fills in, like...
For John Mellencamp.
For John Mellencamp. That's... Does that just tell you that Foles is a better quarterback?
No. Why? Because they won the game?
And they won the Super Bowl?
No.
I mean, do they respect Foles more? I mean, there was a different Eagles offense, not even their defense, not even how they controlled the Rams. It was a different Eagles offense that I hadn't seen all season.
It was smarter on, they ran the ball more. I felt like that. They really concentrated on trying to run the ball. They tried to slow the game down. Also, he used Alshon Jeffrey. That seems to be his favorite target.
He's a big dude, great hands.
He would throw it up to Alshon Jeffrey, and then he would catch it. When it's Wentz in there, he plays more to Ertz. His favorite target seems to be Zach Ertz, which
the tight end.
Yeah, which I don't know if that makes a difference, but going down the field, Alshon Jeffrey seemed to work. And for hold on,
yeah, get it out,
get it.
So sorry, I had to cough. So for the Rams' high powered defense, Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib. Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald. I mean, they're supposed to be one of the best. Their defense is terrible.
Yeah, they got the names for sure.
They got the names, but they can't cover anybody. Like, Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib are supposed to be two of the best corners in football, and Alshon Jeffrey was open all day long. I mean, the one play, they went let two receivers just run right by him, and there was two people just standing out there when Nick Foles throws it deep. And Alshon Jeffrey catches it. But yeah, I mean, Alshon Jeffrey was like, I'm so glad to see Nick Foles back. That's my boy. But the good thing for the Rams, they play the Cardinals next.
Easy.
And the 49ers next.
Simple.
After that. So they have a chance. They'll
but they better get together. I mean, we saw the Niners give Seattle a hard time.
Yes.
I mean, it's the NFL.
It's the NFL.
You know, it's not like you can't, even Arizona, like you just can't put these teams.
No, Arizona you can. I mean, they are so bad.
They're so bad.
But
again, it is the NFL. Like they're going to have a good week.
Giants suck. Worst team in the NFL. That's a
Arizona.
They're competing, both of them, toilet bowl.
It's just weird, man.
It needs to be a toilet bowl. The two worst teams need to play for the toilet bowl.
You got talent on those teams. They just can't put it together. It's so weird to me.
And it was a good response by the Steelers. They had to win. We talked about that in the Patriots, but
that crowd was loud, dude.
My chick
even said, she goes, if it's loud on the TV, can you imagine what it's like there? And I was like, yes, that's a great call. Yeah. I bet it's loud as hell there. You're not going to get that at Cowboy Stadium. Nope. It doesn't get that loud there.
It doesn't.
And they all had the terrible towels, dude. That's a great playoff. Like that, I love Pittsburgh when they have home games in the playoffs.
And one guy at the Mirage in Las Vegas bet $180,000 on the Rams money line, which would pay him $20,000 when they won, and they lost. He also put $55,000 on the Rams to cover the 12.5-point spread. So he lost $235,000 on the Rams last night.
You think he told his wife about that one, Ray?
He loved the Rams or what?
Jeez. I mean, it seems like a sure deal. I mean, you watch what the Eagles have been doing. The Rams are one of the best teams in the NFL.
Dude,
like,
it's the NFL.
That's sure money, right?
That's a crazy amount of money. Might as well just spin the wheel, dude.
But that's why the money line is so, like, it's just easy. Put $1 million to win $1,000, and then, like, for sure, I got to win it.
In my league that I do five best bets, I took the Rams because I thought, okay, Nick Foles cannot capture the magic again. Are we serious? Like, are we really? He's been sitting on the bench all year. He looked terrible the first couple games of the year. That's why they brought Carson Wentz back so fast. And he goes out there and he does it again. And I'm just like, Nick Foles, what are you doing?
Something last night, too, is like the last drive. You know, they depended on the Eagles to just, like, you know, just push the ball, get first downs, and kill the clock. And he comes out, Nick Foles comes out, and the announcers say, you know, he's been training for this, you know, since he was his basketball days with his dad. His dad would always say, hey, concentrate in the game. Don't look at the clock.
Don't.
Just Do what you normally do. That's what I said. I was like, clock. Don't look at the clock. You got less than 2 minutes left.
That's terrible.
Look
advice.
At the clock. Like, you have to. Clock management is what it's all about right now. I understand what they're saying.
Yes.
But to me, it was a little ironic. They was like, I do what my dad said, man. You know, don't look at the clock. It's like, you're trying to manage the clock.
And if you're a basketball player out there, look at the clock. The shot clock's very important.
It's like 24 seconds. Ah, he's like, dang, what happened to you, son?
I was always told, don't look at the clock.
My dad said,
when you're at work, don't look at the clock. The time moves slower.
It does. And like,
but I thought that was funny. When what do they really mean, though?
When you put something in the microwave, don't watch the thing because it takes forever.
Like popcorn? That's the longest 2 minutes of your life. You're right.
Yeah.
Oh. Like elementary school, too. Man, I hated that.
Watching the clock?
Watching the clock.
Oh, dude, in every classroom had the biggest clock, and you just stare at it the
whole
time.
Like if you're in defensive driving and you got to take the class, oh my gosh, it's never going to end.
Oh my gosh,
When you're in a detention,
come on, dude,
that clock.
Dude, Saturday detention was the worst.
You went Saturday detention?
Yeah, if you get in too much trouble, it's from 8 to noon on Saturday,
dude,
8 a.m.
Saturday detention, did that clock even move?
Oh,
I bet there were times the hand just stopped.
And you weren't allowed to nap.
Oh, that's tough. On a Saturday morning, you're a little hungover from Johnny's party the night before.
High school coach.
Let me tell
you. He was partying. Yeah. Lunch if anybody was partying.
You were hungover on Saturday morning?
Saturday morning. Dude, you know how hard it is to get there at 8 a.m.? So then, I'm going to tell you a story about 8 a.m.
Is that even earlier than the normal school day start?
No, 8 a.m.
Yeah. We started at 9:05.
You did?
8:55 was when the bell rang. Yeah.
Oh.
So, really? I was in Saturday detention. I was a junior.
What were you in for?
I don't remember.
And there was this smoking in class.
There was this hottie freshman. Her name was Margo. She was smoking hot.
She's
in
there?
Yeah, she's in there and we're chatting it up.
What did she
out.
Get in trouble for?
Who knows?
What are you in here for, Margo?
Being hot, probably. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
She
hot
wore to too try. High of a skirt.
So, you know, we're hanging out, talking, chatting it up, you know, and she goes, hey, you think you can give me a ride home after this? I was like, wow, yeah.
Of course I can.
Don't worry about it, girl. Come on in. She gets in my 1985. Mazda RX-7, no power steering, no AC. And she lived on top of a hill.
Okay.
Top of a big hill.
Okay.
I mean, up in the
Mazda have a hard time getting up there or what?
Up where the nice big houses are, you know, not where I lived, okay? Okay. And I'm driving up the hill and it's the Mazda RX-7 is having a tough time getting up that hill. Having a tough time. And she goes and she looks at me and she goes, you know, your car's a real piece of.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
get the out.
I was so pissed. Here I am thinking I'm making
moves. Why were you pissed?
Because
it was, though. It was a piece of crap.
Right. But she wasn't saying it in a joking way. She was saying it as in a rich, entitled way.
Oh.
Like, I can't believe you would drive this car.
And put me in it.
Yes. When she's the one that asked me for a ride home, thinking, okay, she's digging my chili. And shout out Mark Grace.
Digging my chili.
And
never heard that in my life.
I was just like, dang.
Okay, so what happened? Did you get out?
I was a block from her house. I dropped her off, and I was like,
did you get the number?
No.
Did you and Margo ever hook up again?
No. There was no hookup ever.
Oh.
Like, that was, right there, it told me that this girl, no way.
But
like,
she was still hot, though.
She was still hot, but no. Like, after that, I'm done with you. She was dead to me. Dead to me for the rest of my 2 years of high school.
Dang, dude. Man. Sorry,
I mean, we're
that.
Friends on Facebook now, but still dead to me. I still look at her, and I'm just like, I still think about how she said that about my 1985 dude, red Mazda RX-7.
Blame your parents, man. They should have got you a better car. Missed you
I
out
bought
on
my
hookup.
Car. You think my parents bought me a car? No. Dude. Oh, yo, this guy got a job at 15 working at Randall's, save enough money to buy a car.
I got a hot chick story. Hot, hot chick I lifeguarded with. Super, super hot. We were going up to Austin to go see Dave Matthews Band.
She made fun of your car or what?
I invited her. I go, hey, you want to come up to Austin with us and come see Dave Matthews Band? She's like, yeah. She's like, when do you guys leave? Like, oh, we leave Friday. Oh, I can't. I'll meet you there Saturday, though. Okay, all right, cool. Whatever, 5-hour drive. Find yourself up there. You got a place to drive. We get there. She shows up. Friday night. She shows up Friday night. And it's like, dude, this the hottie's, she's came. Like, she didn't lie to me. She freaking came. And she brings a bottle of Goldschlager. And she's ready to party. I'm like, wow. Like, this is amazing.
This is awesome,
dude. The hottie totally listened to me. She took my invitation. She's here. Tomorrow we're going to go see Dave Matthews Band. Life is good. She, I don't know, goes to the restroom for like 10 minutes, comes back out. Ooh, she starts taking shots of Goldschlager. Something happens. She starts flipping out and starts like making out with me fast. Like,
okay.
And I'm like,
okay,
well,
sounds awesome.
Like,
keep
okay,
going.
Wow, that was quick. All right. I mean, you just got here 10 minutes ago. then she just like starts like dancing like she's like at Woodstock, and I'm like, whoa, like this, something's up with this.
Oh, she's
chick.
On something. Yeah.
She's on something. Then she starts breaking glasses, and she's like, whoa, yeah, and like dishes and stuff. And my buddy, we're in my buddy's apartment. He goes, what is up with your chick that you brought? I'm like, I don't know, dude. And she starts freaking out, going like, I hate you guys. I hate all you. Everyone in here, I hate you. And dude.
Yeah, Hottie just got not hot anymore.
We threw her in one of the rooms and locked the door. And she was just like, it sounded like a crazy animal was going nuts.
So she was
cage.
In like one of those padded rooms.
Like that, but okay. It was my buddy's room. He got his computer out, everything but the bed. He's like, dude, leave her in there and just let her cool off. We went out that night. He left her in the house.
Wait, you left her locked in the room?
We left her. We come back. She's asleep in the room, like on the ground, like, out. And we're like, wow, thank God she didn't break anything else. Like everything was messed up. Clothes in the closet and everything. The next morning.
Yeah, why was she so crazy? Is that just her?
No, she's like, when did I get here?
Next morning. Morning, guys. In the kitchen, gets a cup of coffee. I'm like, we're all looking at her like, do you know what you did last night? She goes, what are y'all talking about? What's wrong with you? She's like, oh, I just took like some ecstasy. Dude, I was like, okay, you need to leave right now. Like, everybody in the house, and all the guys, all the girls, everyone's like, you need to leave. Like, here are your bags and stuff. Get out.
The hottie just got
wow.
not hot.
Dude.
Hey, you want to know how a hot girl can go to not hot real quick? That right
like
there.
Like that. And then everyone looks, after she leaves, everyone looks at me like, dude, thanks for bringing her. That was really nice. Thank you.
Hey, way to bring her to the party. Hey, speaking of partying, a guy in New York called police after he tried to join. He pledged a frat, and he was out drinking with them. And then they said, all right, close your eyes and bend over. And they paddled him over 200 times.
Wow. They gave him poppins?
Yeah. And he said that was hazing. Only problem is he had to go to the hospital. He was so bruised and sore. So the 45-year-old man called police on his frat brothers.
45?
What?
See? He's 45 years old joining the frat.
Dude, I had a buddy go back to join a frat at like 25.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like NFL or college football. NFL. You can still, you're still eligible
you
to go
never,
play college football.
Yeah, if you never played.
You can always do that. Frat, go do
that's
it
like,
right now.
That's like old school.
Yeah.
The guy, 45-year-old Torrey Gates, said he was so sore and that they took it too far. And so the New York Post talked to his neighbor and the guy goes, do you know how old he is? He's 45. He has teenage kids. What's he doing joining a frat?
What was the response?
Dude, he wanted to go to some frat parties.
That is so
what was that
funny.
Place in Vegas where we went to go eat and they were giving you like
the Hofbräuhaus.
Hofbräuhaus.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I didn't
but
like
that is so funny. A 45-year-old dude joining a frat.
Dang.
And he got hazed and he called police.
I feel sorry for people like that. It's like maybe they just never got to do it ever in their life, so they like feel like they gotta go back.
Dude, he felt like he was missing out on that frat experience. Well, he got
were
it.
You guys fraternity?
Me and South Beach rushed one, we got accepted, and then they're like, you gotta pay us $800. We're like, ah, we're good. So we never picked up our
you didn't know that you had to pay to be in a fraternity?
We did, but we just thought we could keep going for a while until I had no money in college. So when they said $800, that was basically like $8 million.
Lunch,
I was like, oh,
lunchbox
so,
were you?
No, I wasn't in a frat.
Like, but coach, the day they accepted us, they're like, all our brothers are like, hey,
would you go back right now and join a frat?
No. I don't need it. Like, I think I did pretty well in college. Like, I had a group of friends that I still talk to. Like, we were good. Like, we partied hard. We got chicks. Like, we did trash pickups on the weekends.
Like,
for fun.
If you're 45 years old and you go into the frat, like, if you're going through pledge or whatever and rush, I mean, how funny is it if you walk in the house and guys are like, is someone's dad here? Like, what is this 45-year-old dude? No, dude, I'm really here. I want a pledge, man.
My dad had a buddy who went back to college, and he was like 45, 50. And like, he was just really trying to get education. He wasn't doing a frat, but all his buddies would make fun of him. Like, hey, there he is, Sigma Chi. Like, he was always embarrassed. Like, come on, man, I'm just trying to get education. Like I said, like, hey, what you guys do, kickstands last night?
Speaking of New York City, Joakim Noah may be my favorite person.
You like him?
In the NBA.
Why?
Hit me.
He came out, he signed a big deal with New York and sucked. Like, they released him, he's cut, he was signed for like $72 million, now he's on the Grizzlies. And he came out in an interview last week, and he said, listen, Guys, you want to know why I was terrible in New York? I was just too lit. I wasn't ready for New York City. I could look back here and tell
like
you.
He was too lit, like on drugs? Partied
too much. Partied? He said, I mean, after our first game, he goes, I go back to my apartment. There's 60 people at my apartment. He goes, it was just too much fun to be in New York City. He goes, I was just lit the whole time. He goes, I wasn't ready for New York City.
Oh, he was my like,
that's
gosh.
Awesome.
He goes, in being Chicago, honest. He said, in Chicago, we were lit, but I was young and I could recover. He goes, I'm older now, and I'd just be lit. And it takes a lot longer to recover, and man, I wasn't ready
so
for New York.
So who does he play for now?
The Grizzlies. He goes, Memphis.
Memphis, Aaron, crap to do in
he
Memphis.
Goes, Memphis is perfect for me.
Oh, man.
Like, how awesome is that? That he comes out and admits that, because players do it usually after they retire.
Yeah, they talk
he's
about.
He's still in the NBA, and he says, listen, man, my bad, New York. I was just too lit.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Honesty is the best way to go.
I told you, with their schedules, a lot of the professional athletes can go party and recover and be fine.
Well, yes, because they get IVs. They have all the access to everything that you need.
And the NBA, I mean, you got a night game, boom. Right after the game, you're on a high, let's go party. But and then you got the whole day to recover.
You would think that you know you have so much to lose that it wouldn't be worth it. You know what I mean? Like, you would think that the whole, man, if I party too hard and perform bad, I'm not going to be in the NBA for much longer, crosses their mind.
No, what crosses their mind is, I am so good, it doesn't matter, and no one will know. And you go from having nothing to having millions of dollars overnight.
I get why they're partying.
Overnight.
I get that.
The lifestyle just like, wow.
Oh, the friends multiply. Everybody wants to be
yes.
your friend. Like,
you can get, hey, you know that bottle service you always mm-hmm. wanted to get at the club that you never could?
Dumb.
Now you can get that bottle service. You can be that person on the other side of the rope that when you tried to go sit on the couches, they said, sorry, this is reserved. Now you are the person.
It's reserved for you.
That is getting the couch reserved.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So I see what you're saying, but I just think, and some players maybe think that way, but I think a lot of them are like, you know what? I'm living the life. It's sort of like your job. When you first start, when you get a new job, you're on your best behavior. So maybe for a month, you're like, oh my gosh, I cannot go to happy hours. I can't do anything. A month in, you're like, man, I got the hang of this. Start going to happy hours. Start staying out later. Because you know what? You start getting comfortable.
When I started this job, I was like, woohoo, let's go. Like, new town, new city, let's go. We were out all the time. Now it's like, no, I don't do that. Like, I don't have time. This is an important job. Like, I got to wake up early in the morning and, like, be alert and, like.
But those players partying, that doesn't mean they're irresponsible. I mean, they can pull off partying and playing basketball, then
it's
go do it.
It's irresponsible to party the day before you had to work. Like,
well, dude, a lot of them, maybe they play better. They don't worry as much. When you're at the free throw line, you don't think twice about the free throw because you're a little hungover.
Listen, you got 2 days off, party all you want. Like,
now that, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's your weekend. And everyone's entitled to party, but it's irresponsible to party. Like, say, if you have a Monday through Friday, get drunk on Sunday night and then go to work early Monday morning.
I've said it before. I read an article. Sam Cassell, he was so open about it. He was like, dude, we would go get so hammered every night. And he's like, but once I got older, I obviously had to slow it down.
Yes.
When I first got in the league, he's like, we partied every night after every game. He's like, all the time I was playing hungover.
Who was it during the World Series? Is it Yasiel Puig who was playing golf? He was playing golf with someone like during.
No. It was it Puig?
I don't know. Someone of the Dodgers was playing golf with someone, and it was. They found out, and they're just like, unbelievable. Like, he's got a game the next, or he's in the middle of the World Series or something. He's playing golf. Like, it's his time off. He can do whatever he wants. He's not getting trashed. He's not getting lit, like they said.
But they say that screws up your swing a little bit.
Does it?
Yeah.
What, the golf swing, mixing the golf swing with the
back? Well, it's because he had a bad back.
Was that it?
I think that was the problem, and it may have been Puig.
It's just funny because, like, it's his life. He can do what he wants, you know? Same thing with these guys. They want to get lit, and they want to party. They're not going to perform great. But, I mean, it does. I mean, people are watching you, and, like, fans are watching you. The teams are watching you. Everyone depends on you. It's like, there's a lot riding on the line. Your career, your money, the rest of your financial career, all of it.
Everything.
But that's also you being a dad thinking too much. These guys are just going to get lit, dog.
Yeah, true. They're just going to get lit.
You sound like such a dad right now. You got everything in front of you. How could you go party?
It's like Noah's my son, and I'm like, dude, come on.
I think
get
it just,
together.
It just happens. I think you think you're better, and no one you can still
unstoppable.
Do it. Yeah, you think you're a professional athlete. You think you can
you
still party
God.
And still perform because you've done it for so many years. So what's going to change? But your body changes. You get older and older and older, and you slow down, and you can't party as much. It happens to all of us.
Poor Memphis gets a bad rap, but he's right. Like, there ain't crap to do in Memphis. Like, Beale Street, come on. Like, it's all tourists.
The only thing to do in Memphis is drive through it to Tunica.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Graceland's cool. Graceland's cool.
It get a barbecue sandwich, then drive through it to Tunica.
Yeah, that Memphis barbecue is supposed to be the
That rendezvous. Have you had that before?
What?
That rendezvous barbecue?
Nope.
Oh, it's really good.
I don't know where that is. Downtown Memphis.
Have you ever partied on Beale Street?
Yeah.
Have you? Never been there.
I haven't really either. I think if I did drive through, it was the drive through.
Yeah, we went for a St. Jude event, and then that night, a bunch of people went out, and we went to Beale Street, and it was cool. I mean,
you went and partied after the charity work?
We went to charity work all day, and then at night, we went to go check out downtown Memphis. It was cool. I mean, I like it. A lot of history in Memphis, man. You go down to Lorraine Motel, where Martin Luther King got shot. History. Elvis, the first studio where Elvis recorded right down the street from there.
Really?
Sun Records. History.
Is it still open? You can go in there?
Yeah. Yeah, you can go into all of it. Oh, they're all museums now.
Oh.
And then the Mississippi River, Mark Twain, history. I mean, so much history in Memphis. It's awesome.
Wait,
city.
What about the Mississippi River?
The history?
About Mark Twain.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Twain, that's what I mean. He was on the Mississippi.
Well, you can go to St. Louis. The Mississippi River's there, too. Is that cool?
Yeah, St. Louis. A lot of history in St. Louis as well.
No, I'm just saying the Mississippi goes a long way. So is there a certain spot in Memphis that Mark Twain did something?
No, I think he went up and down the Mississippi. I don't know where.
So it's just cool that...
It's just cool. A lot of history in Memphis. I remember going to Memphis my first time and being like, dude, this is crazy. Elvis lived here. Johnny Cash lived here. Like,
really? I did not realize it was that big a deal that Memphis was that big of a place, like a cool place.
Just a lot of history. I thought it was cool. I mean, I like it. I don't know what it is. But again, you know, Joaquin Noah, like, not a lot going on. It's not like he's going to party every night.
Yeah. He's not going to get lit.
It's not the party scene, I don't think.
Oh, man, I thought it was a pretty good story. I have to say,
it
respect.
It is a good story.
Respect.
Respect.
Mr. Noah, for being honest. Chicago Bears, congratulations. Right,
congrats to you.
There it is.
Happy for you, guys. No, it's great. I'm glad you have a team that's, like, clinched.
They clinched the NFC North. They are going to the playoffs, and it feels so good to do it. And to beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers to clinch the division title.
And I'll tell you what, at the beginning of the season, no one saw this coming. I mean, no one saw the Bears doing this well.
And I can't wait to see Soldier Field playoffs, mother. It's going to be awesome.
It is going to be so loud. It's going to be cold. And it is going to be a great atmosphere.
Yeah, because they'll get a home game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We automatically get a home game because we won our division.
Yep. Mm-hmm. There you go.
We automatically get a home game. And we're one game behind the old Rams for the 2 seed and a first round bye.
Wow.
But I don't think the Rams will lose again, so I don't think we can get it.
Maybe we drive to Chicago and go to a playoff game.
Count me out.
Who would they be playing?
Oh, they play
would
a
they
wild
be playing
card.
The
no, Cowboys are going to win their division.
Coach, it'll be a Saturday.
Well, I know.
It'll be the Vikings or the Seahawks.
It'll be so
or
dope.
Whoever gets in that 8 seed.
The Cowboys are supposed to win their division. I mean, they're...
No, but the Cowboys... Mean, they are. Here's the thing about the Cowboys yesterday.
They need to score or else they were not going to win the division.
I mean, before you say anything, I don't think the Cowboys played to their full potential because they felt like there really isn't much to lose in this game.
That's exactly right.
I don't think they felt like, oh, we got to go in here and play our best. They probably tried a bunch of different things. They let Amari Cooper kind of chill a little bit. They didn't use him as much as they should have or have in the last couple games.
They scored 0 points. They didn't use anybody, did they?
They tried. No, what I'm saying is they tried. They tried to run certain plays and do certain things, but I mean,
in the NFL, you get the ball at the 25-yard line. You literally only have to get maybe 40 yards and you get 3 points.
But coach, I also was thinking that they didn't think the Eagles would win.
I
don't.
There's no way they're thinking like that. Hey,
you understand? The coaches don't think that way. The coaches tried. The coaches were trying everything they could. It's the motivation of the players. In the back of their mind, they have a 90-something% chance of making the playoffs. So yesterday, the players emotionally, they weren't into the game. They knew that, hey, we lose this game, it's really not that big a deal. We still have a 90% chance of making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to, this week, we had our big win against the Saints. We had a big win against the Eagles. Emotionally, we don't really have to go and play hard against the Colts.
You don't think the coaches are feeling that too?
No. The coaches are trying to win. The coaches are in there going, okay, let's win. But the players, it's like, okay, man, we can relax and breathe. We won 2 tough games. So this was a flat spot. You could see it coming. in my five best bets. It was my lock of the week. It was the Colts minus three, just because the Colts have everything to play for.
Well, I wish you would have given that on the podcast.
He wasn't here, Coach.
I'd call it in if you got that kind of a lock.
No, he was sick, man. He wasn't feeling good.
No, you didn't want me calling in. It sounded disgusting.
No, terrible.
So the Colts have to win to keep their playoff hopes alive. Have to. They are all in on every game. Sort of like this weekend coming up. They have to win if they want to keep their playoff hopes alive.
Them and the Titans fighting for that wild card.
Yes, and the Ravens. So it was an easy spot.
But you always say that, like, you know, that the other teams are looking at tape. You know, game tape. Does it help for the Cowboys to just chill and take a loss and not give any kind of game, quote unquote, game tape out or anything to look at? Because they have Tampa Bay coming up, or
yeah, they play Tampa.
Tampa Bay coming up, and they look at last week's game. What are they looking at? A bunch of trash. They're not looking at anything. They look back 2 weeks before to see when they were really good, when they beat the Saints or the Eagles. But at that point, doesn't it kind of screw with the next team thinking, like, I don't know what kind of Cowboys we're going to get? Are we going to get Indianapolis Colts Cowboys? Are we going to get the Cowboys that beat the Saints?
So the Cowboys thought all that before the game. Hey, guys, let's not give any game tape. Let's put up a zero.
I don't know the who's or the what's what's, so I'm asking.
I would say if they learn anything, they'll learn how to play the defense. They'll look at how the Colts defended the Cowboys and say, okay, that's kind of how we need to maybe play defense. Like, okay, this gave the Cowboys trouble, this defensive look. And so maybe they'll look that way. Without Ezekiel Elliott yesterday, like,
why didn't he play?
No, he did. I'm saying he didn't do much. You saw how bad Dak is. You saw how limited he is.
He is the weakest link of the Cowboys.
Offense. If you don't have the running game going, the play action pass is not there for the Cowboys, which really is what the only thing Dak can do.
Were they doing any dink and Dak?
No.
Oh, wow.
That's usually dink and Dak.
But the good thing for the Cowboys is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they are one of the worst.
And giving up lots of points.
Rush defenses in the NFL. So Zeke will be able to run this coming weekend. But we got all week to talk about that. But yes, so there you go. That's that. Don't stress out about your Cowboys.
I'm not stressed about it.
It was an easy loss.
Was the game on TV?
Yeah, it was a noon game. I mean, I wasn't stressed about it because I know that they're good. They still have a 90% chance of being in the playoffs. When the Eagles won, I was like, okay, now we got a little bit of trouble, but I'm not worried about it.
I do feel bad for our buddy Steve. It's his birthday today, and for his birthday, he decided to fly to Indy to see the Cowboys from Austin. That was his birthday present to himself. So he flew to Indy,
God.
Watched him get whooped. But I'm going to give him credit. He had a genius move to get better seats. So he paid for the real nosebleeds, and then he photoshopped a ticket on his phone for the seats up closer.
Is this legal?
Well, so he scanned in with his regular ticket. Yeah. So he's in the stadium, and then he just went down to the expensive section and showed the usher the photoshop ticket, and he got to sit closer to the field.
Because, they don't scan.
Once you're in the stadium.
And you can show them a picture?
Yeah, because it's just on your phone. Sort of like, you know how you show your ticket on your phone now? Dang. You download the ticket. So he just took the exact same, like, he just took it and just changed the numbers. And so he had one that he scanned in. And then once he gets inside, he goes to the usher and goes, oh, yeah, I'm section 200 instead of section 500.
I love that. I absolutely do love that to get easier seats. I'm not going to go the risk of doing something like that.
Well, then you show up down there and then someone's sitting there. And you're like, ah, crap.
No. Well, then you just find a seat around there.
I know. And then they show up with their hot dog because they just got up for about 5 minutes.
But I just thought it was a smart move
by
him.
Smart.
That stresses me out.
A lot of work when I would rather just try and bust past an usher. But he put a lot of work into that.
Yeah. I mean, if you're making a trip and you want the good seat, a little Photoshop never hurt anybody. Then he did something that I thought was really cool.
What is this? The smartest guy in the world?
The Cowboys lose. Game's over. He looks. He goes, oh, what do you know? The Pacers are playing in an hour right next door.
So he goes to a basketball game?
And went and bought the Pacers Knicks.
With Photoshop ticket?
No, I don't. Oh. He just bought regular tickets.
He's like, goes back to hotel room, Photoshops the ticket, walks in there.
He's like, I'm going to go see some points get scored, damn it.
Next thing you know. Oh man,
that's funny. Thought that's a pretty good sports day.
Yeah.
Go NFL, jump over to NBA, and then back on a plane to Austin today. Happy birthday, Steve.
Happy birthday, Steve.
I don't know if he listens to the Sore Losers, but I just thought that was a pretty good weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, that sneaking down to different seats stresses me out.
Okay.
It's a blast, dude. It
stresses me
out. I've taken you to that life before.
That stresses me out.
And Eddie was worried the entire time. The
Why were you worried?
Because
well, somebody, we were in somebody else's seats.
I mean, dude, we picked two seats in the middle of a section that no one, it was completely empty.
It was the
no
SEC
one,
tournament. There were a lot of gaps in the stands.
No one was sitting in that section, Lunchbox. No one. The two seats that we picked, two people come up with their
we're
beer
like,
and hot dogs.
Okay.
And they're like, you're in our seats. Coach, I'm telling you, we would have picked the two seats next to those seats. We would have never been gotten
right.
bugged.
And my when that happens and you're sitting in an empty section and there is no one around you and they come up and go, oh, those are our two seats. I want to look at those people and be like, just sit in those two seats.
But it's
There's
not,
no one
no,
out, you idiots.
It's not. That happened to me at the hockey game. Somebody was sitting in my seats.
You say something?
And yeah, I mean, there are two other seats next to it. Sorry, man. These are my seats.
How many seats did you have?
We had four.
Exactly. So you can't take those other two because you need four.
No, but we could have scooted. We could have scooted down. He was in one of our seats. And there were two more empty ones to the other side. So we could have scooted down. But I didn't want to be... I didn't want the next people to think that I took their seat.
That's different. I am talking like when there is two rows of empty seats and you're sitting in two seats. Like when there's a lot of empty seats.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
Yours is kind of that's close.
It's
tight. I'm talking there's 10, 20 empty seats and you're sitting in two of them. And they come up like, those two are ours.
That's what they did to us.
Like dude, do you see all these empty seats around me? Just sit
yes,
in them.
I know, but clearly we're not sitting where we are supposed to be.
I understand
sitting.
That.
And then you get called out and it's embarrassing and I
it's
hate
not
it.
Embarrassing, so you just move down to.
It's great. Embarrassing for 2 seconds, but then you get on with your life.
All right. If you're on a jury, this is the lawsuit. I need your verdict.
Yes, sir.
A man is suing a bar in Austin, Texas. They have a slide that goes from the second floor to the first floor at the aquarium on East 6th Street.
Nice. Oh, been there before.
But I don't remember the slide.
No,
I'm like,
slide
when did they put that
we
in
there?
There? And when he went down the slide, he suffered a crack in his foot, breaking his feet.
Okay.
He is now suing the bar for $300,000 in damages.
Mm.
He had to have surgery for the bone fractures in his feet. And he said that they had no supervision at the slide.
Hmm.
If you're on a jury and this guy comes in and says this, how do you rule?
He chose to go down the slide, so it's slide at your own risk, buddy.
Well, I'm going to have to, man, every time I hear like, oh, man, how cool would it be like if you put a slide in the bar? What's the first thing you always hear? Ooh, it's a lot of liability, man. It's a lot of liability. Put in a cool slide in a bar where people are drinking and drunk and doing stupid stuff. Dude, somebody dies, you're in trouble. You expect this kind of stuff. This dude, the bar must have expected some drunk dude to go down the slide, hurt himself, and get sued for $400,000.
Give him the money?
Par for the course. Give him the money.
This guy, this
don't,
is...
Or don't put a slide in your bar, because that's going to happen.
I hate people like this.
I do too. I'm with you. I hate it.
I hate...
Take his blood alcohol content. If he was sober, he gets the
he
money.
He wasn't sober.
Then
no
don't
chance
give
he
him
was
the
sober.
Money.
There is a 0.0001% chance... that he was sober. And I don't care if he was sober. You decided to get on the slide and slide down the slide. You got hurt. That is your fault.
But that's why you don't, as cool as it sounds to put a slide in a bar, really, it sounds awesome. It's not worth it. Because you know you're going to get sued by someone. If it's not some drunk dude breaking his ankle, it's some drunk person rolling off the top and falling on the first floor and breaking his neck.
That's like saying don't open a restaurant because someone could trip over a chair and sue you.
No, coach, it's a slide.
No, like, but you just said fall over the railing and come down the second floor. I mean,
no
matter
way.
What, if you open a business, someone can sue you for anything. But this guy, you slide at your own risk.
I wonder if it says that anywhere.
I don't
it
care.
Has to.
It probably
it has
does.
To. You have to say it.
There's a. I'm curious about the bowls in bars. You would think more people would get hurt. You
bowl?
Would, when they have the mechanical bowls.
Oh, bowl. Yeah.
That just seems like all it takes is somebody to, because that thing's flying people around and they hit their head.
But you
got to
sign something before
so
you
that's
get
that's what
on
it is?
Yeah.
So this guy probably signed something with the
no,
slide.
No, he didn't.
No, because there's not proper supervision at the slide. Go that's on. Why he's suing.
And really, like the aquarium bar is going to have a dude at the top of the slide, like, here you go, sign this right here before you slide down. No, that's dumb.
Can I get your punch? Or like yeah. you got to have a little like, ticket to get
wait,
on
wait,
it?
Wait. One at a time. Hold on.
One at a time.
You decided to get on the slide.
Be done. Okay, now you can go.
Do you have your Easy Pass wristband?
Beep. All right, slide.
Yes. Sort of like on those scooters.
While your buddies are hitting on chicks, you're going on the slide.
Like the little scooters, the bird scooters that you see around town.
Electronic
signature. They're scooters, if you don't have them in your town, it's where people get on them and they ride around town and you just zap them with an app and they go. That's how you
unlock
them.
Community scooters, yeah.
Yes. When people fall off them, now they're suing. Guys.
You can't, though, because you... See, that's different,
Coach. You decided to get on these things. Stop with this. If you decide to do something and you get hurt... That's your fault. Like, if you go to a baseball game and you get hit by a foul ball, that's your fault. You can't sue the baseball team.
In this day and age, it all says that stuff. Like, when you go to a baseball game and the back of your ticket or wherever, it's like, we are not responsible for anything flying at you and hits you in the head. We are not responsible legally. Boom. Period. These scooters, when you get the app, use electronic signature. As soon as you get the app, you are agreeing to our terms that if you get hit by a car or hurt yourself, you will not sue the scooter company. This bar, I mean, unless the bouncer in the front, when he checks your ID and you pay the cover, like, tells you, hey, you're not responsible. We're not responsible if you fall off the slide and hurt yourself. Which I'm sure they didn't. They just thought it'd be cool to have a slide in their bar.
Hey,
you get sued.
That slide's getting removed today.
Yesterday.
You know the construction crew is on it. Dude, they're disassembling it now.
I mean, honestly, Coach, I'm with you. It's so dumb, but whoever thought about putting a slide into a bar is really dumb.
Hey, if you guys live in Austin, Texas, and you want a slide,
head to the aquarium on E6.
Because they're giving one away.
Man, I wouldn't want to slide down that slide. I've been to the aquarium plenty of times,
oh,
and they never had that slide. But
yeah,
why do
a slide? Put in a stripper pole. Fireman's pole.
Oh, no. Slide's a lot safer.
Instead of the pole.
You're going to bank on people holding onto that pole, right?
Oh, there's no way.
Which is safer? Which is safer to go from second floor to first, the slide or the pole?
Slide.
Dude, sometimes when I'm so drunk, I can barely hold onto my drink. Do you think I'm going to try?
Pole.
I got this.
Whoa! Splat.
I mean, a lot of firehouses don't even have the fire pole anymore
because
it's dangerous.
It's real dangerous.
I mean, that is... God. But if you're friends with this guy, I mean, you're no longer friends with this guy.
Don't be friends with him anymore.
He definitely didn't hook up with a chick that night.
Maybe because would you sue?
No.
Hell no. Would you, Ray? Would you sue?
You can't sue for that.
You can sue for anything you want.
But that's what I'm saying.
I'm not a sue guy, dude. I don't sue.
Right.
Other people sue. I'm not in that world.
Like, I understand if something falls from the ceiling and hits you in the head and knocks you out and you have you have to have surgery. Okay, I get it. Like, a light fixture fell, then you can sue.
Sure.
But this is something you decided to get on yourself. I'm getting over it. I'm going
to
move on.
He needs to ask the bar, hey, can I get some drink discounts? I won't sue. Can I do 2-for-1s whenever I come in? Stuff like that.
Bet you he didn't finish paying his tab that night. I bet you he let him.
They could probably take that off the 4,000. Oh. But it always goes back to, remember that case where the girl, the coffee, hot coffee?
Yeah.
Now, I heard the documentary on this, I've seen that it was really over the heat limit. Yeah.
Whatever it was.
He watched the documentary on the
hot coffee
at McDonald's. Please tell me you didn't watch that documentary.
Coach, how long was that documentary?
No, I'm saying I've heard, I don't know if I've watched it or not, but.
Coach, you really were watching everything when you were sick, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I watched Bring It On, guys.
Bring It On.
It's a Kristen cheerleading Dunst? Movie. Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah,
Gabrielle
Coach,
Union.
From the 90s.
No, it's so bad.
A new one.
The acting on it is so terrible. Like, it's not, it just doesn't hold up to whenever it was. Like, it's really bad. It's not a good movie. If you're sitting at home and you're thinking about, oh, Bring It On's on, I'm going to watch it. No, it's been brought in, and it's terrible.
It's been brought in.
Yeah, not a good one. But I'll tell you what is good. Pursuit of Happiness.
Oh, great movie.
With Will Smith.
God, that could you cry?
No.
What? How could you not cry? You have a son now.
I've already seen the movie before.
Oh, okay.
You're not crying when you're sleeping in the bathroom because you didn't have a house?
That was pretty... God. He goes, dinosaurs, we got to get in the cave. Oh, that was pretty hard.
Hey, when they go to the 49ers game, the Niners game or the Raiders?
49ers.
Oh, God, raise my heart, dude. Raise my heart.
I've read the book, and the book is intense, but then I watched the movie when I was on my sick leave, and I was like, man, I forget how good this movie is. When people talk about Will Smith movies, they need to talk about Pursuit of Happiness more.
Guys, you need to watch a movie. Father-son movie, Coach. You have a new son. This is one that, it's so good. Everybody needs to watch. It's called Life is Beautiful. Have you seen it?
What is it about?
It's an Italian film. It's an Italian movie, older from the 90s. It's during the Holocaust, and these guys are Italians.
Oh, boy.
And so they take him and his son to a concentration camp, and the whole time he's just trying to convince his son that they're on a trip, not in a concentration camp.
It gets 8.6 out of 10 on IMDb.
So everyone in the concentration camp is in on it and trying
to... Okay, don't ruin the movie.
No, just listen. They dress up and everything, play little games like, all right, well, we'll go. We got to go to the next trip, and they go to the next trip, and they're making like... you know, whatever, they make them work and stuff. But the whole time, and it's hard for the dad, it's hard for all the friends, but the kid really feels like, this is great, man. Like, we're on vacation, and it's, oh, I'm about to cry talking about it. It's, Coach, you have to watch it. Life is
beautiful. Don't cry.
Okay.
Can I give a lock?
Can I talk about this next story?
Coach, he has 2 weeks of info to talk about. It.
I mean, are you ready to go or what?
No, hit me.
Great article came out this weekend on the story and friendship of Charles Barkley.
And Shaq.
And Lin Wang.
A scientist.
Yes. This.
Why do you say it like that?
He was a cat litter scientist.
Fascinating.
Okay. So Charles Barkley was at a hotel, and this guy's at a hotel. Charles Barkley was there to do some charity event, and he was in there for work. And Lin Wang was a fan of Charles Barkley and went up to him to ask him for a picture. And then they start talking, and they talk for like 2 or 3 hours. And then Charles Barkley says, hey, man, let's go get some dinner. So they go to dinner together, and they have a 2-hour dinner. And then they go back and they go to bed. Next day,
they go to bed together.
No, they don't go to bed together.
Okay.
They see each other at the hotel bar, and they start chatting again.
The next day.
For 2 hours.
Next
day,
couple hours, they chat again.
2 hours.
And Charles Barkley's like, hey, man, whenever you're in Atlanta, Phoenix, or L.A.
Or whoever else I'm going to play for next.
No. This is when he's retired. Okay. He's like, hit me up. We'll go grab dinner. And they became friends. Like, they were texting back and forth. They became good friends, and Lin died. And Charles shows up. He had never met anybody in Lin's family. But he showed up at his funeral and spoke. And the article just talks about the whole relationship. And
how long were they friends?
Like 4 or 5 years. And like when Charles Barkley's mom died, Lin just did the research on his own, didn't text Charles, just showed up at the funeral in Leeds, Alabama. And Charles talks about it and talks about how, I mean, I got all my famous friends there, and this little Asian guy walks in, and everybody's like, who the hell is this guy? Like, what in the world is he doing here? And that, and all of Lin's family were like, okay, you're really friends with Charles Barkley. Mm-hmm. Sure you are. And man, this article just talks about their relationship. And I thought it was so cool how they were friends, and it was just like just this random dude at a hotel bar, and they became good friends.
So always talk to the guy at the bar next to you.
And that was going to be my next point. Have you ever somewhere just randomly met someone and become good friends with them? Like just randomly talk to someone and...
Yeah, actually, my friendship with Billy, and that's how it all started, South Beach... You were just sitting next to him in class, and South Beach started talking to Billy, and now we're all best friends in a class.
Yeah, but that's class. Oh. Well, I feel like, yeah, I have friends in college that we met in class. But
you're talking about just sitting in a bar
at a train station. You start randomly
talking
to them.
Do you have one?
Them.
Have you thought about this?
The only one I have, I think, is I was at an Astros game against the Cubs at the Astrodome when I was like 11 or 12. And I snuck down to the expensive seats behind the Cubs dugout. I had a Cubs shirt on, a Cubs hat, and I'm cheering for the Cubs, and these two ladies start telling me, hey, no Cubs fans allowed down here, blah, 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 and we start talking back and forth. And they're older ladies. I mean, they were older. They were old enough. One was old enough to be my grandma, and one was old enough to be my mom, I would say. And whatever, we start talking back and forth. And then every time I would go to a game at the Astrodome, I would go down and see if those ladies were there.
Mm-hmm. Talk to them.
And talk to them. And then... All these years later, they came to my wedding. They sent me a baby gift. We are still friends to this day.
Still to this day. That's awesome.
And they have season tickets. And anytime I want to go to an Astros game, I just call them and they give me tickets. And whenever I'm in Houston, I try to meet up with them for dinner or lunch and just say hello.
You're going down later this week. Yeah, you're going to hit them up?
I'm going to hit them up. And it's just so that one to me, when I read this story, reminded me of these ladies. And I was just like, man, that is just so cool. So it just tells you. Talk to people.
Well, I don't have a story like that, but you've inspired me to do that. Like, really?
No, not me. Charles and Lin.
But I don't know them too. You brought the story to us.
Friendship. Look at these guys. That's him with Shaq. He got to meet Shaq, and just like he was just a huge Charles fan, and then they became like best friends.
Yeah,
they would text back and forth, and
I'm just bad at keeping touch. Like, I've met so many people in my life, and we've had good relationships while I was living in that city or, you know, working at that place or whatever. But as soon as I left, like, I'm bad at keeping in touch. You know what I mean? Like, I have a hard time keeping in touch with people I met like 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's tough.
I don't know what it is, but.
Like your parents? You keep in touch with your parents? Family? Like, you just don't text anybody? You just live your life and don't care about other people?
No, like, no. If I worked with someone like 10 years ago, yeah. We were really close 10 years ago. And
why
worked
text
all the time.
Them?
But I don't really keep in touch with them.
Yeah, I don't keep in touch either. But then when somebody comes into town or something, I'm best friends. Nothing's changed.
Yeah, that's different. Different. But it is harder once you get older and you have a family. Because you start having different interests. Because, like, my old roommate, I met him when I worked at Sam's Club in San Antonio in college.
What was the store number?
Oh, that was 6416.
That's it.
Yeah, Sam's Club, 6416, 281 in Bitters. It's now closed, but I was there.
Building's still there, though.
Building's still there. Yeah. I was a cart guy, and there was this other cart guy named Mark. And Mark goes, hey, man, one day we're sitting there out there drinking our, you know, lemonade. And I'm like, he goes.
Under an oak tree?
No, we're sitting on a flatbed, oh, okay. Taking a break.
Great addition to the story.
He looks at me and he goes, you think we'll be friends in 5 years?
That's a good question.
And I looked at him and I said, no, once we stop working here, we'll never talk to each other ever again.
And is that true?
No, it was absolutely false because I bought a house and he moved in. He was my roommate for like 4 or 5 years. We partied hard. We brought chicks home and we have this great relationship. And now he's married with a kid. I'm married with a kid and we don't talk as much anymore. Yeah. But we were so close all the way through mid-20s, mm-hmm. I'd say late 20s. And now we don't talk as much anymore. And it doesn't make sense because we were so close. But
yeah, and it's the talking to all the time that's different. Like a buddy of mine from college that I haven't seen in forever. He lives in Wyoming now, and you know we went to go play a show in the band I'm in Wyoming, and he showed up, and I'm like, dude, that's crazy! Like I haven't seen you in 15 years. Like thank you for coming, and then we caught up and everything. But we don't text all the time like we used
right.
to.
That's what I was gonna say.
That's
we used to text
part.
All the time, and now, but if we got together, Mark and I, not like. Romantically, but if we were in the same city,
sure.
We meet up, it'd be like no time had passed at
exactly.
all.
Exactly.
And I just think it's because you get a family and you have other interests and other things going on.
Priorities.
So it's hard. It's mm-hmm. hard to keep your friends close. Mm.
But I just move on with the phases of my life. When I left Michigan, I don't talk to any of those people. When I left Chicago, I don't talk to any of those guys. I left Texas. I do still talk to Billy. And then now I'm in Nashville. It's my Nashville friends.
Well, so right now we're in Nashville sitting under the tree drinking lemonade. Boys,
are we going to
be friends? You think we're
going to
be friends
years?
For the rest of our lives?
Probably not.
All right.
I mean, just
that was depressing.
I mean, I would love to be friends with you guys for the rest of, but in reality, like,
right.
We're probably.
I mean,
lose touch.
Are we going to be like Charles and Lynn? Probably not.
That's what I'm saying. It's very rare to have a Lynn friend.
Yeah, when somebody leaves town or I leave town, I leave with it. They leave with it. I don't continue to
communicate. And that's how amazing this story is. They weren't even friends like us. We see each other every day.
Yes.
We're real friends. Like
they
I see
at a
you guys
bar.
Every day. We text every day. These guys, they were getting drinks together at a bar, had dinner one night, and then they're at funerals together. And like, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. He's dead now?
He's Lynn? Dead. Lynn is dead. He was from Muscatine, Iowa.
Wow. And he looks young. I can't believe he died early.
He was friends with Charles Barkley. And I'm going to put the story on our Twitter,
Sore
Loser Show on Twitter.
Thanks, Coach. Good story.
I thought it was a pretty awesome story, and I just read it, and I was just like, that is so cool.
I'm going to start keeping in touch with people.
Start today when you're
I'm
at the gas station.
Everyone today. Oh, but again, like I talked to the guys on the street, like the guys selling magazines.
Right. No, like,
I talk to people,
but I don't
I
ever
don't
be like, oh, we should be friends.
Okay, well, at the gas station, the gas attendant, get his phone number, keep in touch with him.
There was this one guy, dude, I talked to him every single time, like, I would go to the gas station every single Uh-oh. Time, and he died, like, randomly, and it was, like, the saddest day of my life. I'm like, how did that happen? They just want, dude, I went in one day, and they're like, did you know, like,
he worked there?
So-and-so died? I'm like, yeah, I had a heart attack. I'm like, wow. We talked every single time I went in that gas station. And that's the thing. Like, I talked to them, but we weren't going to be friends like Lynn.
See, I feel like there was old lady on the airplane a year ago that I sat with, and we talked the whole time. And I felt like it could have been a Lynn relationship. She was real nice. It was like, oh, here's my email. Email me, blah, yeah. blah. And I never emailed her. And I feel like I could have been friends with her. Like, she could have been like
the guy honorary... the guy we played golf with in Vegas. You know, like,
yes.
Good dude. He gave us a ride back into the strip because we played a golf course off the strip. And, you know, he gave us his number. He's like, hit me up. We never hit him up. Could have been a buddy, you know?
Right, and could have been a buddy. Could have been a cowboy.
Never hit him up.
All right, Monday Night Football tonight. New Orleans travels to Carolina.
Come on.
What?
I just want New Orleans to just show how good of a team they are and just
no, I don't
kill Carolina.
No,
and
let's not do that. Let's have Drew. Let's just run the ball. If you're the Saints, just run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Thank you. That's all I'm asking. Drew Brees.
Is there a fantasy?
Yes, this is a chance.
I was like, why is he saying this? I don't understand.
This is a chance to get into the finals of my one league that I'm in the play. Listen, I had Lamar Miller, two carries, out injured, 0.4 points. I had Keenan Allen, zero catches, hip pointer, out for the game after attempting an amazing catch in the first quarter. So 0.4 points from two of my big guns, and I still...
Coach, let's try to stay neutral on this podcast.
I still have a chance to make the finals.
Okay.
So I am just like, this is, I thought it was over when those two guys go down that early and give me 0.4 points between the two of them. I think, oh my gosh, this is terrible. But then things start falling. Zach Ertz last night had nothing because Carson Wentz wasn't in there. Guys, this is amazing. I have a chance.
Yes.
All right, we're rooting for you.
Thank you.
Guys, I'm going to lock it up. I'm doing the same thing with lunch. Monday Night Football, MNF. That is where it's at. I'm the only guy in the world that locks it up, and I'm locking this one up. The over-under is 50.5. Saints, Panthers, under 50.5. Go ahead and lock it up. Under 50.5, it's going to come close to it, so maybe the end of it, you're going to pucker up a little. It will be under 50.5. Watch it at a bar. Watch it at home. Don't tell your wife. Get $100 out.
Sports Genius, you got anything?
Yeah, I want to say that congrats to the Stanford women volleyball players. They won the national title this weekend.
Wow.
And there's a picture of them running back into the locker room holding the trophy, and they have a drawing of the Husker.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a tree up Husker, like they kind of making fun of the Huskers, and people are like,
"Oh, here
oh
we
that's
go.
So disrespectful."
Here we go, horns
guys,
down scenario again.
Like, just let
who, have fun.
Why can we not just let them make fun of the Husker? They were playing them in the national title game. They were doing something for motivation. And we put a picture up of them winning the national title, and what we're going to make the big deal of is the picture of the Husker.
Look, as long as there aren't any like penises or any kind of thing that's like inappropriate, let them have fun. Like, why do people get so uptight about this
the
stuff?
The athletic director of Stanford said, "We are aware of the picture taken in our team's locker room following the NCAA Women's Volleyball Championship and posted on social media. The image in the background of the picture is unacceptable and does not reflect the values of Stanford University. We have reached out to our colleagues at Nebraska to express our sincerest apologies." Like, there is no need to apologize.
And there's no sincere apology.
No one at Nebraska cares.
It's not even
no
real.
One in the world cares. Like, what is wrong with people? Quit being so sensitive. I know this podcast has gone long, and I don't even know if you guys are interested anymore.
I'm
just so excited to be back.
No, but really.
But look at this picture. Like, what is so terrible about that picture?
Nothing. Listen, look here. Oh, there's a gun.
Who cares?
There's a gun shooting the Husker.
Yeah, it crossed the line.
Coach, not shooting, pointing.
Did you mention
middle
that?
Finger?
Did you mention,
did you mention
gun?
There was a gun shooting the
it's
Husker?
It's not shooting.
Coach.
The trigger's not being pulled.
Okay, Coach, there's one. Okay, hey, hold on. Hey, Ray, let me describe
the
this picture
to
you.
The gun is the biggest point of the whole thing.
Let me, Coach, this is what the picture says. It says, to hell with the to hell the Huskers. That's
yes.
what it says, right?
Yes.
Okay, and then there's the Nebraska Husker.
And then there's Stanford Cardinal, the tree.
And then there's the tree with arms. In one arm, he's got the middle finger.
Yes!
Okay, the left arm has the middle finger. The right arm has a gun to the Husker's head.
Oh, God.
Okay, Coach, you missed out some big details.
Coach, hey, to get to his point, he had to leave out a couple details.
I mean, Coach,
no,
you're like the National Enquirer.
No, but here's my thing.
Coach, you got to say that there's a gun in the picture.
Coach, that is not a good picture.
No, there's no need to apologize. Who cares?
No, Coach, that's not good. You
can't. Oh, my gosh. You're one of the sensitive Sallies. Here we go. You're a sensitive Sally.
Here, it's just a picture of the Husker in the pine tree.
We'll put the picture on our Twitter. We'll put the picture on our Twitter and let us know if you have any problems with the Sore Loser Show on Twitter. We are back. It feels good to be back.
Hey,
I'm back.
Sports Genius
Man,
back.
Man, it feels good. You guys have a wonderful day. I don't know if we even talked about anything interesting, but
dude,
we saw the end of the Patriots. It's over. They're slow. They have no playmakers. We told you that. But
hey, I got a quick question, though, real quick, because I was watching a hunting show last night.
Okay.
Well, I mean, hunting is sports.
I have no answer.
And Coach Ray, listen to this. Like, so this dude's shooting a bobcat, right? And the bobcat's there, and it's real quiet. Look, there's a bobcat right there. Yeah, it's a beautiful bobcat. puts him in the crosshairs. Pop! Hits the Bobcat. Bobcat dies. He's got to wait it out. I think I got him. Let's look at the scope one more time. They look in there. I mean, that Bobcat's dead. It's pretty much cold, like not moving. Then he goes, all right, let's go check it out. They walk up to the Bobcat. Here's my thing. They waited 5 minutes for this Bobcat to die, and then they're still whispering. Why do they whisper after they shoot the animal? I understand when they're hunting and they're like, shh, there's deer out here. We got to wait for the gun. We got to be quiet. He shot the Bobcat and he's like, all right, I think the Bobcat's dead. Then why are you still whispering? You guys don't watch sports shows.
Dude, you would love
it. I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't
Do you hate with golf when they whisper?
No, because there's a point to whisper at golf. Don't disrupt the player.
You gotta whisper.
The animal's dead already.
But you realize the announcer, he's not next to the players when he's whispering.
That's true. He's back at the studio. I don't know. It's just weird to me. I don't even know why I was watching a sport, hunting show, but
yeah,
it was funny.
I have no answer.
So if you guys have any explanation on why they whisper after they shoot the animal.
Because other animals around there.
But who cares? They're not trying to kill another animal. Oh. He got the bobcat he was trying to get.
I'm pretty sure the bobcat's dead. Okay, Frank, you can talk normal now.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm pretty sure the bobcat's dead then. All right, that's all I got.
We're out of here. Have a great day. See you later.
Thank you. Bye.